All right, people, it's going to be another podcast. It's not really our weekly podcast anymore since we tend to just be doing these whenever. Well, we don't even feel like doing these. We just do these.
I feel like talking during the warm-up, and then we talk about things that are interesting, and then we're like, oh, shit, we have to talk about the Mariners now? And, I mean, if they're the Mariners beyond being interesting, I mean, Josh Wilson is not an interesting character. Neither is Matt Tuiasosopo, any of our catchers except for Josh Bard, who isn't even that interesting. He's just not Rob Johnson. So
it's just interesting by comparison,
it's something, I guess. I mean, if we traded our team for a team of players who are all 3% better than our current players, like, that would be more interesting, and we would still be not very good.
I don't know. We could be better. I don't know if that would make it more interesting, because we could be the Padres. And I don't care what you... The Padres are not interesting.
I don't care. They're so... Okay, so I think my hipster's ad's going to come out, and I'm going to say they are interesting. Because they're so uninteresting, it's interesting that they're good. They're unwatchable, except the games are quick, which makes them more watchable.
Yeah, but you watch the game, and then you're like, don't you have to think back, like, in 2 hours, what happened in the last 2 hours?
That's what I do with baseball anyway, right now, except for 3 hours.
The Mariners are actually pretty quick.
Two and three quarters hours. But, like, I like writing about Will Vandal because he went to Princeton and he's bad and he's weird. And, like, the whole Padres team is just such a weird collection of players that came together and are playing decent baseball. Like, it's, I don't know, it's, I don't want conventionally interesting, like the Rays. Fuck the Rays. Nobody gives a shit about the Rays anymore. Fucking Pat Burrell is fourth in ALDH All-Star Game voting. And he got released by the Rays. Fucking Rays fans. And, oh, by the way, that's still ahead of David Ortiz. The voting right now is Vladimir.
That's hilarious.
Guerrero's number one. That makes sense. Guerrero's been good, even with the ballpark. Yeah. He's been the best DH. Number two, Hideki Matsui. He's been terrible for the Angels.
Yeah, but,
number three, terrible. I'm still going. Don't you dare interrupt me. Number four, Pat Burrell, released last week. Then David Ortiz. Like, is he... granted, Ortiz started slow, but he's picked it up in a hurry. He's actually kind of good now. Are things that bad? Is he getting all the blame to Austin?
Probably. I guess he's getting a certain amount of blame, but it is still surprising to me that that the Boston fans aren't, voting him out of just whatever. I was going to say, like, Matsui makes sense because he's got the LA and probably still some leftover New York, because it's not like they're voting for Nick Johnson. I can't believe that Griffey's third.
Yeah.
Who's voting for him? I understand there's some Mariners, but it's not like there's people that go to Mariner games.
No, but, I mean, everybody... Griffey is one of those people who it doesn't just take a fan of the team to love. Everybody loves Griffey. Or, like, the casual fan is going to look at that list and think, he's, like, the one player that everybody in the country has heard of.
Right, but he didn't come this close last year, right?
Are people voting ironically? Is that what's happening?
I don't know.
That would be interesting if that's true.
You're starting 2010 AL All-Star team, the Mariners.
Without and the Indians pitching staff. Except without Fausto, because he throws a decent pitch, actually.
And we've tied Franklin Gutierrez's legs together with Ichiro. It's a three-legged outfield race. I don't know.
Ichiro could tie a knot around his legs. So you know how we've made fun about the Twins' starting rotation being all the same guy and Liriano?
Yes.
Like, the Indians' rotation is all the same guy.
Yes. Except we also mentioned that.
I know we've talked about it before.
They're all, like, ground ball-y, no stuff, lots of walks people.
Yeah, except for Masterson actually gets strikeouts, which is interesting, but...
Yeah, he didn't seem like a guy who would get strikeouts to me. It seemed like he'd have a rather large platoon split, too, but... He really impressed me when I saw him throw five meaningless innings in spring training, and I was drinking a margarita, which might have been the cause of the impressionable part.
When I saw him with the Red Sox, I actually wanted him until I was told he was off limits. Surprise, he's not. He's throwing in the mid-90s with a good... He was like Sean Green with stuff, like some stuff, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, he still doesn't have a pitch of lefties. And we're talking about Justin Masterson. This is how uninteresting the Mariners are. The Mariners are 16-28. We just lost a series of the Padres. Somebody pointed it out. I'm going to go back and look at this. So Matthew, please hum.
Well, I think what's especially... I'm not humming, no. Well, we don't have a theme song to hum.
What I just wanted to point out is that the Mariners haven't won a series since late April when we played the Royals.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, when we beat the Royals with 2 one-run wins.
We haven't won a series this month.
No, we've played some two-game series. Anyway, now then, please continue.
I guess we could just kind of use that to segue into the, I don't want to say hopelessness, but the current, I don't know, emotional state that we have as fans of the team. It's just
5-17 since Cliff Lee came back.
Yeah. I don't want to say I've given up hope, but I'm really, really starting to not expect any sort of entertainment when I turn the game on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not skipping games yet. I will maybe, you know, plan to do some other stuff while the game is on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, it's now reached the point I got kind of hoping we scored those 15 runs against the Padres, and I was like, oh, finally, that offensive regression that we knew had to come around somewhere. And even though it doesn't work like this,
right,
there's part of you that's just like, okay, you see it happen in that one game, you're like, okay, here it comes now. And now they're going to be, everything's back to normal. But of course, it doesn't work like that. And they go on to score, in the next two games. And it's just right back into that old slump where it's just, I turn the game on and it's literally, I'm going to pay attention because I believe everything I write about their bad luck. And I know the bad luck isn't sustainable. And there's a point where they're going to start hitting like they've been hitting and getting those results. And that's going to be more interesting than it is now. But at this point, I'm just kind of like, Mariner game's on, but I'm not going to be entertained by this at all.
Yeah. There's very little feeling in my game thoughts post anymore. It's just, okay, these are things that I observed. Here's some adjectives.
Here are facts.
Yeah, that's what it is. Here are facts. Here are some funny things I saw happen off the field, because that's what's really interesting. And I don't even have confidence that they're going to play Saunders Langerhans at all, who were two of the interesting players.
Right.
They still have this whole Bradley Sweeney Grippy conundrum. I can't believe that we still have Saunders and Langerhans on the team, even. It almost makes me upset that they're on the team because they're not doing anything.
Yeah. I have no problem with Langerhans, but Saunders kind of irritates me. But I'm not. They do a lot of work in practice and everything like that, so I don't feel like he's just being completely worthless. But it would probably help for him to be playing every day and also maybe not burning service time. if he's basically like fifth on the depth chart right now for outfield.
Yeah, and I mean, I just want to see him. I want him to see some reason for, like, if I see Mike Sweeney hit a home run, great. Okay, he hit a home run. That doesn't mean anything. The season's over, uh-huh. So he's not going to be a part of the future. God help us.
Yeah. But I know exactly what you mean. Mike Saunders hitting a home run is like visions of Mike Saunders hitting home runs for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
Plus, it was really fun to watch him hit home. Like you said, I think you tweeted about that, like, watching Michael Saunders have success was one of the, like, most rewarding things that you've seen this year, and it's so true. Oh, God, it felt so good to see him do well.
Yeah. I don't give a shit if Mike Sweeney does well. This hot streak is one of the weirdest things that I've seen in quite some time because, okay, you helped us win a game. It was quite a game. You had two very, like, Jay Buhner home runs. It was weird. He, like, turned. He twisted on his front foot. It was a very unusual home run, but he hit them well. And it's like, great, you're making me eat my words. We still suck.
Yeah.
You're still not very good. You're just causing a problem. You're just masking the problem with your annoying success. Man, I sound bitter.
It does.
I
especially when he now has, like, the team's highest WOBA.
The team's highest everything.
Yeah.
He actually, I tweeted this morning, he has the highest, Monday morning, he has the highest WOBA of any ALDH. Or whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, he was terrible.
I know. But it's like, but we really need to move Milton Bradley to DH.
Bradley just will be here next year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's fine. If Sweeney wants to keep hitting, then that's fine. They just need to sub Hanahan in for Griffey. And then literally, we're probably, that would be a roster I'd be fine with. I guess we should probably also get rid of Tui for something useful.
Well, yeah, Hanahan for Tui, and then you can bring up, I don't know, I guess anyone.
Brad Nelson.
Brad Nelson would be interesting. We'd have to make a 40-man move, but then get rid of Griffey.
Would be the Griffey to 60-day DL would open up a 40-man slot.
I mean, that's so clearly what they need to do. It kind of boggles mind they haven't done it. But does it really? Because it's Griffey.
Yeah. Kind of long past the point of anything boggling.
It is to the point where we're so bad that I almost don't care that we still have Sweeney and Griffey on the roster because they're not holding us back anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I know I should be mad, and I am kind of mad, just like I'm mad that Don Wakamatsu didn't pinch hit on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like, well, now there's no actual emotion in this fury. It's just...
Yeah. I know. Tangentially to this, the argument that some people have made that, like, I won't get upset at player X or situation X because we have so many other problems. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really... I don't understand that attitude. Like, I understand we have more than one problem, but generally in any life scenario or situation, if you analyzed it, you're going to come up with more than one bad thing. Mm-hmm. And the presence of there being more than one bad thing should not be preventing you from solving some other bad thing.
Yeah. If I got shot in my thigh, I would cover the wound. I'd be like, oh my God, I've been shot. If I got shot in both my thighs, I wouldn't be like, nothing. I wouldn't just sit there and let blood shoot out. I'd be like, oh, I've got to cover at least one of these before the other one.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Griffey may not be holding us back more than anything else, but solving the Griffey part is one of the easiest things that they could possibly do. Mm-hmm. So there's no, it's laughable to me that some people would come up with that reasoning to be like, nah, doesn't upset me because we have so many other problems on the team. Well, so all of them need to be solved. Doesn't really matter what order you do it in. Eventually, all the problems ideally should be solved.
Yeah, and
so
Griffey does
solve the ones that you can.
And Griffey does obviously represent more than one problem. He's a problem at DH. He's a problem with the flexibility and Bradley in left field. So it like a lot of pieces fall together if Griffey goes away. But I guess ultimately, if somebody says it doesn't bother him, the Griffey's still here because it's not the problem, what we know is that that person isn't bothered. And whether the reason might be laughable, whatever, it's hard to arrive at conclusions about people. I mean, someone can root for the team how they want. They can like players however they want. That's fine. But if you want to actually advance the argument that Griffey isn't important because he's not the biggest problem, that's stupid. You can feel about him however you want. That's fine. But don't tell us what is and is not important to fix.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I'm also going to take this opportunity 13 minutes into the podcast, because I always forget to do this at the start, to mention that I am Matthew. This is me, Matthew, talking. And the other person is Jeff, and we sound nothing alike.
Yeah, so I'm Matthew.
No, what?
Hold on, let me try this. I'm Matthew.
No.
Is this working?
Stop it.
I'm Jeff. I'm the one who coughs a lot when Matthew's talking.
And swears.
I say bad things. I say a lot of bad things. About anybody, really. I'm kind of non-discriminating. What are giveaways aside from coughing? I swear, have the way better radio. That is it. We don't sound anything alike. So I feel if you know what one of us sounds like, that's it. There's no confusing us.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just the fact that I never remember to introduce, and I just kind of am under the impression that if you listen to one, you listen to them all, and that you kind of remember that. So I forget that there are people that drop in and out, and that could be confusing to not know which one's talking. So
one of the weirdest things, weirdest phenomena I've noticed about the podcast is when people will listen to an old one and then they'll like send me a message that says like, hey, I just listened to your podcast. That was a funny joke that you made a month and a half ago. That was relevant then. Like, we do these ideally to be like currently significant with what's going on at the time. Like, I guess there is appeal in listening to something that's really outdated. Like, I could go back and listen to an old podcast and be like, oh, look at these people, how they still care and are optimistic. Like, that would be funny, but it's weird. Like, I would think do you get caught up, or do you just listen to a podcast randomly while you work out?
I don't know. But I don't think it's any different than, like, reading old game threads, which I know you're a fan of, or at least used to be a fan of.
Yeah, well, they are funny.
It's different. It would be different to me if somebody had like emailed me, because I would, at least with like game threads or whatever, a written word, there's a record of it. and I could just like go and search it and be like, oh yeah, and now I remember, and like maybe read the subthread and be like, okay, now I remember the context. Mm-hmm. But things that like I say, I have no real memory for.
Dude, I was having that thought this weekend. Like I don't remember conversations. If somebody says something, I will remember, oh, I've talked about this before. But if you ask me off the top of my head, what did you talk to your girlfriend about yesterday? I would look at you like, oh my God, is this yeah. embarrassing? Do people normally remember this?
Right. I remember conversations. I tend to not remember my side of the conversation and or I can't pair up what I said to who I said it to.
Thank God. I thought for the longest time I thought I had a brain tumor. Maybe not.
Well,
we might just have
similar brain tumors, but...
And once again, in case this is one of those things you just listen to and zone out, I'm Jeff.
That should be our new running gag. We'll just do it every 30 seconds. It's like pausing for station identification. You're listening to the LL podcast. Let's go to our Bud Light hot seat.
So, Matthew, I don't know what they do in the Bud Light hot seat, but what do you think about Bud Light? Is that what they do?
I don't know. It's hot. Why is it hot? Beer shouldn't be hot.
Well, if it's a Bud Light, it's like, this is the worst idea. This is the Mitch Hedberg joke about cheese whiz in a can. Like, if you're already going to have room temperature cheese, I don't remember the whole joke, so I'm not going to paraphrase it. But basically, it's the same thing. Like, if you're going to have Bud Light, it doesn't matter if it's warm or hot as it is. I saw a Bud Light Golden Wheat commercial where they had a Bud Light bottle working at an office. And it got the Golden Wheat, who I guess was the attractive secretary at the office, and everybody was vying for the Golden Wheat, which was like a bunch of wheat, like walking. There's a number of problems I observed with this commercial. Like, first of all, like a bottle and wheat, they don't have senses, you know, they can't actually perform work in a corporate environment. But more like, if you're working at the environment, why are men interested in the wheat? Like, if anything, men don't like grains, typically. Like, it's not beer, it's just a pile of wheat. Men usually like white bread, they don't go for the health as much, and then it's like, if you're a man, you're probably gonna lose the bottle. Like, the bottle's gonna be the most likely to get the wheat. It makes more sense. What's a man gonna do with the wheat?
Well, the wheat's a metaphor for a blonde girl.
Oh. Okay, bigger problem. Leaving aside the fact that I was just completely wrong and moving on and burying that under the carpet, at the very end of the commercial, there's a security guard, right, with all the monitors at his desk in the office place, and he looks at one of them, and he sees the bottle and the golden wheat making out in an elevator, and the guard's like, oh, yeah, or something along those lines. Like, he was actually interested in watching a bottle and a pile of grain feel each other up in an elevator. Like, that is a weird fetish. Tortilla chips and nacho cheese seasoning on top of each other. Like, with arms...
anamorphic nacho tortilla chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird. I don't understand that commercial, but it did not make me want to try Bud Light Golden Wheat, although it did imply that I might be sexually attracted to it.
If you like blonde girls, i.e., or as, you know, it's sometimes known, flaxen hair.
Oh.
That's why I assume it's a metaphor. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. Like, I'm assuming I'm like trying to channel what the writer might have meant. And putting myself in his place.
Mm-hmm. Before it got corrupted and fucked up by the people who actually put together the commercial.
Yeah, but I'm just like, what's a joke that I would use?
I understand the true mark of a blonde girl is that she doesn't understand what flaxen means.
Yeah.
Blonde jokes, that's where we're going. Let me tell you about airline food next, which, by the way, I've done. I've made that a joke.
Yeah. Speaking of food, you know what I had for the first time ever yesterday?
Is this about the Mariners?
No. A feijoa, I think, is how you say it.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and relate this to baseball by saying Nelson Figueroa. Now then, please go ahead.
Now that the quota check off. Yeah, no, it's like a, I guess it's like a guava, but it's different in a way. I don't know. I was at the grocery store and I saw it and I was like, I have no idea what this is, so I'm going to buy it.
A fig guava?
F-E-I-J-O-A. There's like way too many freaking vowels in it. But
Fagiola. That's weird.
It was really good. So I encourage anyone out there who's listening and can get their hands on a Fagiola or a Frigioa or a whatever the hell it is.
It looks weird.
Buy some. It's good.
It looks weird on the inside.
Yeah, it's like jelly.
Ew. It's a pineapple guava.
Yeah, but it's good.
It's widely cultivated as a garden plant and fruiting tree and is a perennial.
It was tasty and it was unique kind of tasting. So it was like a nice flavor. I immediately started thinking about how I could put it in a beer.
And a podcast.
And a pot. Well, yeah, that came later.
Well, if you ever were wondering how you could put this in a beer, I know how you could market it. You have a corporate environment, right? And you have a pineapple and a guava.
Okay, but at the end, the security guard has to be Jim Bowden.
Oh, yeah. Man, look at those stats. Speaking of old general managers, I don't know if you heard this one. You probably did because I retweeted it. Steve Phillips said a funny thing on Monday about Roy Oswalt, who, if you haven't heard, which you may not have because he's an Astro and who the fuck cares, Roy Oswalt said that he would, I think, like to be traded or he was open to a trade. He's kind of covered the whole spectrum with his intent to be traded, desire to be traded. And so Steve Phillips, the ESPN personality and analyst, chimes in saying, I would trade Strasburg for him as the GM of the Nationals, which you figure, okay, Oswalt, pretty good pitcher. He's like a certified number two, maybe number one. Yeah, Steven Strasburg, kind of the same. Kind of a lot cheaper, kind of just as good. Kind of under team control for a long, long time.
Right.
Kind of ready to come up any day now.
Yeah.
I would make my team worse now and in the future for the low, low cost of $16 million.
Yeah, that would probably blow away any kind of trade that I could think of.
It would. So I don't know. What would it compare? Who's a give me a good expensive outfielder on a bad team? I would trade Jason Hayward for Ichiro. Would be the same kind of thing.
Yeah, if Ichiro were worse.
Yeah. Although, in fairness, Oswalt is actually better than I expected him to be, and he's very durable for somebody who I thought had, like, annual injury problems, but he doesn't at all.
Yeah, no, it's just more like, I think Ichiro's a bad example, because I'm not sure he will ever age.
Right, it's just for somebody, Sizemore? Does that make sense? Except he's really bad now.
Yeah, and also still young, which is weird, but hilarious, because I never liked him.
Yeah, God serves those Grady's ladies, and you should have fallen in love with Goody's Poonies. Shit him in your club. Look what you did.
That is excellent.
Would it be weird if we started that one?
Goody's Poonies?
Just hung out in the
center field bleachers.
Yeah, with all those college students. Hey! Hey, Goody! Because you know what college people love is gay people. But then this is getting weird, so let's move on. Hey, Shinsuchi was good, all right.
Whatever. Sticking with the Astros. Oh, they're so bad at hitting.
Humiliatingly bad.
So bad. I couldn't believe this when I did that post about a week ago when I took like the whole regressing WOBA and added in the kind of base runs element and did it for all the teams. Mm-hmm. And it has the Astros as like their true talent. Not, I shouldn't say true talent, but their true results from this year. Over a whole season, it scored like 470 runs. A quarter of the way through the year. Like this isn't bad luck. This isn't like Mariners are bad, but all bad luck. No.
The best hitter so far in a hitter ballpark in the National League, Lance Berkman, of course, back from injury, 784 OPS. Second best, Jeff Kevinger, 727. It drops off in a hurry. This is a bad offense. Like, it's... Tommy Manzella is somebody you probably haven't heard of because he's terrible, but he's doing what Brian Bocock did, except he's still playing.
Yeah.
Like, he's still the shortstop, I think.
My God, they're just so bad. It's hilarious.
And expensive. Carlos Lee is just completely falling off.
Yeah. It's like people, I mean, you can talk about our offense all you want, but At least there's a, I mean, there's a huge gap between us and the Astros. The Astros are like twice as bad as we are, which is amazing. I almost want to start watching Astros games.
I love that they're still worse than the Pirates, even though the Pirates are like certifiably worse, I think, or at least comparable.
Not at hitting, I don't think.
No, but overall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look at the Pirates, for what it's worth, they do have a worse run differential. And even since, so I did the math yesterday, the Pirates got blown out 17-3 by the Brewers several weeks ago, and everybody was laughing at their, like, legendarily bad run differential. And yeah, and then
they lost that series, like, 36-2 or something, didn't they?
36-1, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It was the next series. So they lost that series of the Brewers 36-1. Then they got swept by the Astros, and then they played the Brewers and lost by 14. So at that point, the Pirates were 7-12 and terrible. And then you think, okay, well, regression is going to take place, right? Like, there's no way they're going to stay this bad. So I plugged the numbers. And since then, they've certainly regressed, and they've only been on pace to be outscored by 200 over a full season. Oh, God. And they have a better record than us, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, they play in the same division as the Astros.
Well, let's see. They have Clement. They have Cedeno. Any other Mariners? Who's the face of the Pirates right now? Is it McCutchen?
Probably got to be McCutchen, yeah.
Wow, that's really sad.
They have Andy LaRoche, who I always wanted for a long time.
Well, he's not doing shit. Blasting's Millage isn't doing shit. Is Delmon Young doing shit? Because that would be an interesting...
No, he's not.
Okay, so those guys busted. And Elijah Duke's kind of busted.
I don't know if LaRoche is busted because he's basically a league average hitter. I don't know what his defense is like.
I was referring to Millage. I'm going over busted outfielders. Jeff Francoeur is busted. Like, this is a bad time for whenever those guys came up and were big prospects, they didn't go anywhere. You know who did? Garrett Jones.
Yeah.
Are you guys still with us? Are you still listening to this about the Pirates? Because the Mariners are just...
I guess we could try to find something to talk about with the Mariners.
Well, so you
talk about the Milton Bradley articles.
Milton Bradley, go.
There's obviously been a slate of Milton Bradleys. You can just go to the fan shots, and there's three of them, I think. And although you can disregard the first one because the first one was like this weird teaser for the later to come ESPN.com article. But the Baker one was a good rundown of what happened that particular night, and also a good good reminder of why, hey, you guys really shouldn't overreact when these things happen. This is why it's so frustrating and why I kept, you know, you go back to that night that it happened, and we got flamed a bit on other blogs for being like, let's, you know, try to keep a level head and not jump to conclusions based on early media reports. And look what turned out, that maybe we were right again. But the ESPN one, it's got some really delicious quotes about Mike Sweeney taking Milton Bradley under his wing, which is, you know, Bible quotes and all. And
if you didn't know, Mike Sweeney's actually a bird.
That would explain it. That would explain his heading stance. I find it weird. It's just, maybe that's why we can't get rid of either of the DH combos, because... Can't get rid of Griffey because it's Milton Bradley's idol and he looks up to him. We can't get rid of Sweeney because he's basically his dad or his guidance counselor.
Yeah. And so what are we going to do next year when, oh my God, God willing, we don't have either of them and we still have Bradley probably. I mean, he's still under contract. I doubt we're just going to drop him.
Yeah.
Then what? Do we hope the counseling helps? Do we keep around Griffey and Sweeney as like personal coaches?
Maybe we have a team that wins, and by winning, it generates good chemistry again.
Right, okay, but more likely, do we have personal coaches? I get really depressed. I was on the radio on last Thursday, talking about the Mariners a little bit and what would happen at the end of the year. Cliff Lee's going to walk, which we know he's going to walk. Eric Bedard could come back, but who the fuck? I think Eric Bedard might actually be dead. Like, I think he may no longer be among the living. So I wouldn't count it. So at the end of the year, we're right back to where we were going into this offseason, where we had Felix and a bunch of stuff in the rotation.
Except it's worse because now we're another year of being like, yeah, this stuff sucks.
Well, it doesn't suck. That's not fair. I mean, Bergens is okay.
No, but I mean, whereas it was, okay, well, we can count on Hyphen and we can have some like slightly optimistic hopes for Ian Snell. Next year it'll be like, well, we can kind of count on Doug Fister. And it's just replacing those two with the other two.
Yeah. And you can hope for like Michael Pineda making a huge step forward, you know? Or Robles, I guess. But I don't know. We're not yet at the point where we can be like, oh, yeah, count these guys in for 2011. Although, with the way Pineda impressed, I could actually see it. That would be one way to energize the fan base. But most likely, those guys are a little ways off, and we have, oh, God, there's nothing in the free agent market, by the way, not that you want a free agent pitcher, except for Cliff Lee, who would be awesome, but he's learned his lesson by now. Holy shit.
Yeah, well, but... not to get too down in the dumps, there is still almost three quarters of the season left, which is, I guess, a cause for either optimism or pessimism, depending on how you feel about watching baseball at this point. But if you don't like watching baseball, then just don't watch it. There, problem solved.
Yeah.
Just stay away.
The website will still be there when you want to come back, check out how the team's doing. You don't need to... Matthew and I are the one... Yeah, maybe. We should... I mean, it may not be what you thought it was. It could have a lot more volcano information that you left. Although I'm starting, you may have noticed, I'm starting to trend it over there anyway. I think it's really a new niche for growth. volcanoes is a big, I mean, there's already so many people interested in like statistically analyzing the Seattle Mariners, the last place Seattle Mariners, that have just, I think throwing in a volcano dimension really, like I'm coming at you, Harry Potter. So many people are already interested in statistically analyzing the last place Seattle Mariners that I think adding a little volcano dimension could really, there's a lot of growth potential in there. So I think it's like, I'm coming at you, Harry Potter. Look, Atlanta's going to blow up. Mariners, stats, and volcanoes.
Is Harry Potter still popular?
I'm coming at you.
Twilight? Right. Yeah, they're still making Twilight movies.
The movies are over. The books are done, is my understanding.
I don't know.
I guess I could talk about Twilight. That's certified Google hits.
Yeah, actually, wow. We should just analyze.
At the end of my or in my titles, it's like the next recap is going to be 16 and 29, comma Edward. Here comes the traffic. Oh, that's a Twilight joke. If you don't know Twilight, that could be. Anyway, we were talking about something else before volcanoes. Oh, you're saying if you don't like baseball, go away.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so Matthew and I are the ones who have to slog through this and really don't have much of a choice. You can leave.
Yeah.
In fact,
although I heartily encourage you before you leave to send us money.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be good.
Even if you plan on staying, especially if you plan on staying.
By the way, it's pledge drive week here at Look at Lightning Podcast. So after this word from our sponsor, the Bud Light Hot Seat, which is a sponsor, and that was a weird thing, Bud Light Golden Wheat, then we're back. So Look at Lightning brings you quality material on a daily basis, around the clock, 12 months a year, 7 days a week, 4.5 weeks a month, other measures of time. And, you know, it is a burden on the authors to provide this quality material for so little compensation and revenue that it would behoove the... I can't do this.
Behoove.
Behoove, is it?
Behoove, yeah.
Behoove. What did I say? Behoove? That was stupid.
Behoove.
Behoove? That's not even a word. God, you... This is why people don't donate to you, asshole. Donate to Matthew. Matthew's...
Once again, I'm Matthew. The other one's Jeff.
So you can tell from our... We actually are including a PayPal link in our spoken word. It's the newest... So when one of us is talking, you can click the link and it'll be directed to the person speaking. I think this is going to work. The Rangers are 16-28.
Yeah, it's if you're still with us and you haven't been able to tell, it's hard to get energized about this. We can't even. There's nothing even to rant about. It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
That it has been. There's nothing new that's happened.
And it's hard to rant about Sweeney. Or like the DH situation, since Sweeney's actually hitting, and as long as he's hitting, that's fine. And like I don't have it in me to stay mad at Mike Sweeney. He's just doing what he wants to do. He hasn't been bad. he's hurt the team, but let's face it, it's not like Bradley or the team hasn't forced itself into a situation, into the right situation. And, well, that was a stupid thing to say. I don't even know what I meant. But like,
at this point, it's just because I think we both would rather see Langerhans and Saunders play in left field. So it's more just like we don't get any real joy out of Mike Sweeney playing, even when he succeeds. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, he doesn't, because more often than not, any player doesn't succeed unless you're Barry Bonds. So we'd rather, I don't know, I'd rather see other people.
Yeah, kind of a stylistic thing.
It kind of sounds like I'm breaking up with Mike Sweeney.
Yeah, you better get out from under his wing. Maybe, I mean, so last year I kind of liked Mike Sweeney just because he was so different and nice, and like, we really have a player who just hugs other players. Like, that's kind of gay, but weird. Like, it was interesting, and maybe last year we were good, and I still liked Sweeney. This year we're bad, and Sweeney's actually a problem. The DH situation is a problem, but we're bad, so it doesn't matter. So maybe I will, maybe I'll turn, maybe I'll start to like him again if we stay way out of the race.
Maybe, yeah, I will say my his actual hitting has certainly diminished my hatred of him. I don't hate him anymore. It's more now, it's more just indifference. Mm-hmm. But let's see, things we could talk about. Oh, how about Hyphens one inning out of the bullpen?
Yeah, how do you think how he about looked that inning? I thought he looked like closer. Hello. Like, hey, Boston, you need somebody for Papelbon. I know you got Bard, but if Papelbon doesn't work with that repertoire, what's Bard going to do? You need some finesse bullshit left-handed. You need some, like, 72-mile-per-hour curves and a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. Woo-wee! That is a burner that, you know, comes in left. I feel so bad for him and me in turn, because I like him. In people's defense, they didn't actually get on me about RS. Nobody's talked too much about his one bullpen appearance the way they did with Ian Snell. Like, you know why Snell was better in the bullpen? Because he got to cut down his repertoire. He didn't have to throw all three of his shitty pitches. He got to cut it down to two shitty pitches, and that makes it easier to throw strikes. He doesn't have to throw as much of his changeup. This is a hypothesis, but I'm pretty sure it's true, because he cuts down. Although, I didn't actually watch Snell on Saturday. My understanding is he was okay.
Yeah, I don't recall I didn't watch him because I was at dinner, but came back. His line was pretty decent. If he did that every time, I'd be, you know, fairly okay with that.
Yeah, but then you remember the Padres, they can't actually hit.
Right, that's true. I had forgotten that part, which does lead me to the end of that game, which is a... I don't know how this felt, but when it was 2-1, 3-2, we were down a run. 2-1, yeah. And the ninth comes up, and Sweeney doubles, and Lopez has his infield single, and here comes Milton Bradley with one out, runners on the corners, tying run, a sac fly, really anything but a double play ties this game up, and he works the count to 3-0. And I know that Casey Koshman's on deck, and there's a huge part of me that was just so, I don't want to say stressed out about it, but it was just like, you're almost kind of like, pre-irritated, because I knew it was like, oh, Milton Bradley's going to draw a walk here, and then Casey Koshman's going to hit no good double play, and I'm going to be so pissed because I allowed the team to get my hopes up. And literally, when the bullshit strike one call came, mm-hmm. and then Milton Bradley swung through the 3-1 pitch, and I was like, for whatever screwed up reason, I actually felt so much better because I was like, okay, now I know he's not going to walk. Or I'm pretty certain he's not going to walk. And even if he does walk, somehow it feels better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just this weird, like, I didn't want to get too hopeful because I was still, like, certain the team was going to, you know, let me down in the end. But independently of that, like, knowledge of the certainty of the result, I couldn't control my emotions following the general WPA trend of the game. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, weird.
Casey Koshman is one of those guys that even if he's good, it will always be in your head like, oh, he's going to hit a grounder somewhere. Some weak grounder.
Yeah.
That's his thing. Just like Langerhans is like a ball in the gap or a walk or something. Like I've done posts on this before, and I think everybody is this way with players. Everybody with any player will have like a defining play in his mind that he does most often. Felix is a strikeout or like a really, really frustrating walk. Uni is a pophead, so we've done this before. We can do it again. But yeah, Kosterman is a grounder, and it sucks because it makes his successes exciting, but then almost immediately you go back to thinking, well, he's just a ground ball machine.
Yeah.
He's a difficult player to like in that regard, I think, in the way that Jared Washburn was easier to like, because he did a lot of things that were watchable.
Right, yeah. Of course, it was a lot more easy to like Casey Kosterman when he hit home runs.
Right, yeah, when he had those three and then didn't hit any since.
Yeah.
Although he hit that long fly ball.
Yeah. That's true. That was crushed.
He has that swing. I mean, we've seen that swing. It's a very good swing. He just doesn't do it often.
Mm.
So do you guys
have somewhere else, science of I had somewhere else to go at this point, and now I've completely forgotten it.
Well, let's see. Who else is on the team? Hey, by the way, you know Josh Wilson has been okay?
I know. Well, I just wrote that.
I know. Well, I was reminding you.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually... Just, man, I mean... Huh?
Started out really hot, almost Bloomquestian, and we had to be like, whoa, no, people, remember, he sucks. And then he promptly reminded everybody else why he sucks. But then slowly, he's gotten respectable. But he's done it in such a quiet way.
Yeah. With nobody caring anymore.
With nobody caring, yeah. That's, I don't know, it's weird. I still want Jack Wilson back, though.
Oh, no, I do, too. But, you look at Josh Wilson, he's got, 200 plate appearances of being an actual hitter with the Mariners. It's the damnedest thing. And he's, he's in his prime now. He's 29 years old, and he's not much of a fielder, but you start to
wonder... Is he 29? Wow, he's 29?
He's 29. He's been around for a while. Well, nobody cares about my fantasy team. But, with Jack Wilson, you look at him, and you wonder, well, how long can he keep playing this defense with those bad legs? And it's not like anybody wants Josh Wilson, but he looks less dreadful now than he did, both because he's kind of opened my eyes, and Jack Wilson has been... Not a nightmare, but a disappointment.
Yeah, I don't have a problem now with Josh Wilson. It's kind of like if we could reset the clock to March and be like, well, we'll need somebody to probably play 30 or 40 games at shortstop. And if you transported my new attitude about Josh Wilson back to then, I'd be like, that's fine. With Josh Wilson, Jack Hanahan, that's fine. The only problem is he's probably going to end up playing a lot more than 30 or 40 games at shortstop.
You know how I know we're bad? This conversation.
We're talking about the merits of Josh Wilson.
Holy shit, we have more home runs than another team in the American League. We're 13th. Seriously? Oh, who did we pass?
The Royals?
We are so flying by the seat of... Oh, we're tied with Oakland.
Oh.
The other team that's built just like us and whose offense has been just as bad.
Yeah.
And the Indians.
So Ben Sheets, interestingly enough, it actually seems like Ben Sheets might have been tipping his pitches because since that story came out, he's been really good.
Interesting. I wonder what he was doing. If, of course, there's.
Well, they said they thought he was tipping his curveball, which it's always one of those. It's like, oh, tendonitis, or we think he needs to move his glove position. It's like one of those stupid things they always talk about with pitchers when they suck, but. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that gets backed up by actual results. Small sample, of course, but...
And he was good against Tampa. He was good against Texas. So those are two actual offenses. The team that beat him up most recently, us. That's weird.
Sucks. I liked it more when he was terrible. It's kind of fun to point and laugh at Oakland. You got Ben Sheets and you got Rich Harden. Yeah, we just got Cliff Lee. Yeah, we suck, but at least Cliff Lee is awesome. He's more awesome than I even thought.
Yeah, even in the game where he allowed 8 runs, it was still so good.
It's like when we traded for Eric Bedard and we were all sort of like, oh man, Eric Bedard is so awesome. And then if he had came over and instead of being Eric Bedard had been Tim Lincecum.
Yeah.
We knew he was going to be great. But then, oh my God, he's so much more cool when you actually get to watch him, and he's on your team.
It's just like Hayward, and just like Strasburg is going to be. Like, there's hype, and then there's what he actually does, and it's really cool. And This is, I wonder if this is going to start something where fans are like, well, we can't trade for an ace anymore. You saw what happened the last two times you traded for an ace. Like, yeah, well, it's not the ace's fault.
Oh, I am sure. I think that already happened as soon as he got hurt in spring training.
Right, well, you guys are fucked up. Shut up. Blow me.
Because apparently every time you trade for a number one starting pitcher, that pitcher will get hurt.
Okay, well, let me just warm everybody's hot stove here for a second. That's a disgusting thing to say. But Tyson Gilly is in AA for the Phillies, and he's OPSing 642. Felipe Aumont is in AA for the Phillies as a star. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is 1. Who's the other guy we traded? J.C. Ramirez?
Yeah.
Well, that's not a hit. What's his first? Juan Carlos Ramirez?
Yeah.
That's just me being racist because they're all named there.
No, it's Juan Carlos.
No, oh, well, it didn't come up. I'll just search for Ramirez. Surely there won't be too many results. J.C. Ramirez. Fuck, if there wasn't. J.C. Ramirez is in A-ball. Who the fuck cares what he's doing in A-ball? He's been... Yeah, so whatever. We have lost nothing.
Well, so that means he's been good, huh?
No, he's been okay, but I mean... He's,
okay.
He has...
Yeah. What, it's just the way you glossed over it. It's a, well, like, he was really good. You didn't want to mention it because it would have... Contrary to your point.
7 strikeouts per 9. He's 21 years old, isn't able. Come on, JC, take a step up. So we traded for Lee, but unlike the Eric Bedard trade, where we lost things that mattered, we lost Philip Aumont, who's taken a huge step back, and Tyson Gillies, who's taken a huge step back.
Yeah, like, plus we'll get at least, you know, whatever we trade Cliff Lee for, or 2 draft picks, which will be, you know, ultimately... They may even be more valuable than any of the 3 pieces we gave up based on how they're performing this year. Yeah. No, it was still people like as much as like there's some waxing of faith or no, I'm sorry, I guess waning of faith in Zarenzik in the front office. Like people need to go back and really look at some of those moves they did in the offseason. Like remember why we got so excited about them.
Yeah.
That was an amazing trade.
And like everybody thought Figgins was a good move, and yeah. Bradley was
and come on,
split.
Regardless of how it's you know acted out in 2010, come on, we traded Carlos Silva coming off of those 2 seasons.
Yeah, for a guy who could help and in theory still could help. He hasn't really had much of a chance yet. It doesn't matter. So Carlos Silva has been okay. He's been fine on the National League. Whatever. Again, National League. It's early. It doesn't matter. He's not playing real baseball over there. And we would all selfishly like to see him fall apart. There's plenty of time for that to happen. And what's most important is that he's not here, and the Cubs are still bad. And if they want to be like, well, we traded Bradley, and we got better because we didn't have Bradley anymore. Well, psych, you're still under 500. You're not going to the playoffs because you're bad. And let's see, what was their record left? Oh, so by the way, last year the Cubs were over 500. Right now they're under 500 without Milton Bradley. So you know what, Cubs fans, shut the fuck up. Bradley is not your problem. You are stupid and drunk, and you probably throw up on each other like that guy in Philadelphia. And did you read that story about the bleachers? I think this might have been... There's a diver on the bleed cubby. Well, okay, long story short, people just relieve themselves in the bleachers. They don't leave. They piss on themselves. This is Chicago, except the Chicago I don't like. The Chicago I do like is going to the Stanley Cup. That's pretty cool. I like to, in my head, I like to think there is no overlap between the two. Even though,
right.
Has anybody ever taken a picture of the Wrigley bleachers after a game? Like, do the people stay
like
there?
Like the stands or something?
I don't mean like there's like literal human shit and trash. I mean, like, are there people who live there? Like, is that just where they are?
I kind of doubt it, but I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't know what to say to that.
Mariners.
You've bunswoggled me there.
Maybe this would be a good opportunity for you to defend the Rob Johnson offense position, even though we've done this before. I think maybe we should do this to keep people from outright hatred.
The Rob Johnson offense position?
Well, it seems like when you run calculations, Rob Johnson comes out looking not nearly as bad as people think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is just his visible successes or his visible failures are so visible, and they carry over from last year, and people were primed to hate him anyways, and I was primed to hate him too. He was awful last year, but it was because he was awful at defense and awful at hitting. And this year he's been awful at defense, but better at hitting. And a lot of people had faith in Adam Moore, and it turns out Adam Moore is way worse at hitting. If Adam Moore were Dan Wilson with the glove, then fine, I would still hate Rob Johnson because it'd be something even beyond light and day, like something more dramatic than white to black in how good the defenses would be, but it's not. Adam Moore is like a deep twilight to Rob Johnson's black hole. Adam Moore's been bad. He's been really bad at defense. Mm-hmm. And he sucks at hitting. So, I don't know. Josh Bard, yay.
What I really want, my dream, even I don't care how good they are at fielding or anything, I just want a team full of switch hitters for maximum millions. Or like 8 switch hitters in Ichiro, because he's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Well, and Ichiro basically is a switch hitter.
Yeah.
He has no split. Yeah.
I just love switch hitters. I not having to worry about platoon splits in the later innings. Even if a guy isn't as good from one half of the play, they still exudes the right word. It provokes a certain confidence. I don't know. I feel more confident in having somebody bat from the opposite side of the plate against a reliever late in the game than I do otherwise. Even if the guy, Josh Bard, is not a very good hitter. There's no reason to believe that he is. Even at his best, he wasn't very good. But he has some power, and he hits from the other side of the plate, and he can draw walks, so he's refreshing.
Yeah, if I had my druthers, our lineup would be like Ichiro, Figgins, Bradley, and then Gutierrez and Michael Saunders, and then that's it. Like, we would just have those five. Like, those are the five people that I want to watch hit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And two switch hitters, Ichiro, one lefty, one righty. Yeah, good.
Sounds about right. And then you can, I don't know, call up Poitras.
No, I just mean nobody else. Just that's it. And just have a five-man lineup.
I guess, yeah, we already have four automatic outs. Doesn't really hurt us.
Wonder if we could do that. Could we just have like that lineup and just be like, okay, well, once they're done, you know, it's like every third inning we'll just forfeit that inning if you let us just use this batting order. Like, we promise not to hit in the bottom of the third, sixth, or if it comes to it, ninth.
Shit. Can we pinch it?
But let us have just those hitters for the first, second, fourth, fifth, seventh, and eighth innings. I'd be so happy. No, Jose Lopez. Yes. I hate watching that guy hit.
God, it's Beltre without all the things that made him good.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted about this, and we can harp about this. The one difference of Jose Lopez, beyond that, he is taking a few more pitches this year. But last year, he had his OPS on balls hit to center field was like in the low 600. His OPS on balls hit to right field was in the low 600. His OPS on balls hit to left field was like 950. Uh-huh. That's where he did everything, was pulling the ball. This year, it doesn't matter where he hits the ball, his OPS is in the high 500s. So hitting the ball, taking the ball the other way, he's just as good, which is to say absolutely atrocious at it, as he's ever been. Taking the ball up the middle, just as bad as he's ever been. He's now just completely lost the one thing he could do, which was pull the ball for some sort of power.
Yeah, it's almost like I posted about this one time. I wonder if people remember. I wasn't ripping you, I was ripping other people. But
I know, we should just say it every like two or three days, just because hey, it's free content to repeat ourselves.
We saw Lopez, what was it, Sunday? He had a long, Saturday, he had a long flyout to left field. Sorry, there's something bugging me on the floor. This is really interesting. Friday, he had a long flyout to left field, I think it was.
What's more interesting than you? Things randomly found on carpet.
Oh, we don't have carpet. So, hear this? It's all wood, baby. Jose Lopez had a long flyout, and I looked at that, and I thought, hey, cool. That's how sad it is. I get excited when Jose Lopez flies out 10 feet in front of the wall. Like, I don't... I... What is he... What? I don't... It's not like he learned some skill that made him a good hitter. Like, he's not disciplined now. He still has, like, 7 walks. What changed? Like, what is the, it's got to be mechanical, right? Something.
I don't know. It's not even like he's hitting fewer balls to left field. It's not even like the, what was it, like 2006, Mike Harvey's going, we're going to learn Jose Lopez to go the other way and stuff like that. He's just gone. I don't know what it is.
Hey, you know who has been, who's gotten free off any blame so far?
Matt Tuiasosopo?
Dr. Marcus Elliott.
Oh,
fuck the hell you, is that? Weight trainer.
Oh.
And you're that guy. Fucking horizontal versus vertical strength. Yeah, fun lot of good it did this team. Have you noticed how man. Everybody's bad?
You know who deserved to be fired more than our hitting coach? That guy.
Yeah, take you and your experimental medical bullshit somewhere else, Harvard boy. We want a guy to make Sean Figgins, bring him back. Bring Jose Lopez back. Bring back Jeff Pentland, for God's sake.
Something.
For the record, I don't actually blame Dr. Marcus Elliott. I don't know if he does anything, but
he's yeah.
Take responsibility, please. Everybody's bad.
Yeah, there's about as much energy about this team as they seem to exhibit at the plate, so.
Yeah, like, we have this 2-game series against Detroit coming up, and Miguel Cabrera
missed
both games because his wife is having some little alcoholic baby, and like, hey, great, no Cabrera, yay, they'll beat us.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Although, Miguel Cabrera is by far and away their best hitter.
Oh, no, he's a very, very good player.
Yeah.
I'm sounding defeatist.
No, I'm not. It's more just I was just looking at their stats because, you know, they have a lot of good hitters. Ordóñez and some other people. I was just looking at it because I didn't expect Miguel Cabrera to be that far ahead of the rest of the Tigers hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been legitimately one of the best hitters in the league this year, so
right.
It's not insignificant that he's not going to be here. It's just that we probably won't take advantage of it.
Yeah, because
Miguel Cabrera not being there doesn't mean we get to use Miguel Cabrera on our offense, which is what we need to be doing.
Who are we facing? We're facing Verlander and somebody, right?
I believe that's what somebody said.
Oh, no. Well, I guess the rest of the rotation is pretty bad.
It's like you couldn't... Like, man, I want to see Dontrell Willis. even if at this point it is embarrassing that he would shut us down, I just want to see it.
Actually, look at this. Jeremy Bonneman has a pretty good strikeout to walk ratio. Maybe he's coming back.
Yeah, well, we get to face him too.
Do we? Is that the other one?
Yeah. Yeah, great. It's Verlander and Bonneman.
We get the two good ones. Miss Porcello, Scherzer's in the minors. Scherzer's in the minors? That's wild.
Well, he's off. He was awful.
Yeah, no, he was pretty bad. But so here's what we got coming up. We got the Tigers. They're better than us. And then we got the Angels. They're better than us. Then Twins for a while. Then the Angels again. They're better than us. Then Texas, San Diego, St. Louis. All these teams are better than us. Then the Reds. They're better than us. Then the Cubs. That'll be fun. I hope the Cubs is fun in a way that isn't like when Jose Guillen played the Angels and like struck out every plate appearance kind of way. Like, yeah. I hope Milton Bradley actually does something. But thank God it's actually in Seattle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the trolls and the desire to go read Bleed Cubby Blue to see what they're saying about Bradley. I would really enjoy if he hit a line drive off Colasola's face, I think. At this point, I am just rooting for blood. I mean, there's no satisfaction for me aside from Felix like throwing a no hitter. Even a clear no hitter would make me upset. Like, oh, you're leaving.
He just raised his salary demands. This reminds me when I was getting my economics classes back in university. One of my teachers for undergrad was this guy from Moldova. But who had studied in Russia back when it was still under the Soviet Union or whatever, and We were talking about different forecasting models in economics, and he said there was an old Russian joke, which I guess has been off told, and I'll paraphrase it because I don't actually know Russian. But this line of questioning made me think of it, that the two Russians are arguing, and the Russian pessimist goes, boy, things just can't get any worse, can they? And the Russian optimist goes, they sure could. And that's kind of what it feels like right now.
Huh. Well, that's a thinker.
The 2010 Seattle Mariners, basically the Soviet Russia of baseball.
Wonder who's going to try to invade us. Whoever creates for Cliff Lee. Perfect.
Who tried to invade the Soviet Union?
Hitler.
Oh, fair enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay, good point.
We'll still come apart, but we'll still rape somebody who tries to trade for Cliff Lee.
This is working. Yeah, this works.
All right, I like it. So the rest of the year, we just have to type in accents. Fun new project. Man, our Google hits are going to go way down. Ichivo.
Our google.ru referrals will go way up though. Oh boy, I think we should end this.
Yeah. I'm just checking one last thing, and the Angels, by the way, have a worse run differential than us.
Seriously?
Yeah, and if you add up their OPS plus and their ERA plus, you know, in this half-hearted measure,
mm-hmm.
They're also worse.
So we might actually be better than the Angels, is what you're saying.
I think we might actually be about equivalent with the Angels. So let's see. Negative. Yeah, no, we've been markedly better than that. As a matter of fact.
So there you go, people. Schadenfreude. Yay.
And they're still better than us. Back. Surprise, Angels baseball.
Yeah.
They still have the better record.
Yeah, but at least they're not going to the playoffs, I say. Yeah,
they're almost certainly not because they're bad. Nice signing in Matsui, guys. He's bad. Holy shit, Brandon Wood.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought he was regressing up. His OPS is 381, everybody.
Yeah. OPS. Oh, that's his OPS, God. People.
His yeah, OPS no, I think he's like Mike Sweeney's OPS.
I think his batting runs to average, because he's also gotten a ton of playing time. Mm-hmm. I think he has been by far the least valuable hitter in baseball.
Fun fact, everybody, Brandon Wood, strikeouts, 36, walks 2.
He's like their Jose Lopez, except without the weird good defense.
Yeah.
And also way worse at hitting.
Way worse. And Howie Kendrick's been bad, and Eric Ibar's been bad. This is nice. I like seeing this. Brandon Wood's OPS is 200 points worse than Reggie Willis.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Fernando Rodney struck out to walk 1.
That's not good.
Scott Shields struck out to walk below 1. Matt Palmer struck out to walk below 1. Brian Stokes below 1. These are all players with significant playing time on the air. Joe Saunders about 1.
So this is kind of a funny thing. So I wanted to verify what I just said. So I did. Yeah. I looked up. I just sorted all hitters by their batting runs to average, and Brandon Wood is the worst in the league so far, narrowly edging out Erasmus Ramirez of the Cubs and Jose Lopez of the Mariners. But it's fun looking at this list for a couple of reasons. One, all the Astros. There are 4 in the 10 worst hitters in baseball. 4 of them are Astros. But secondly, also because you know, just looking at the top of this list, they're all such bad hitters that then scrolling over to looking at their their WAR, you know, it's predictably negative, 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 negative. Except Jose Lopez, who's positive because his fielding he's almost been worth a win with his glove.
Man,
by UZR, he has 9.2 runs.
Just what ridiculous. A fascinating career path that he is putting out for himself. Like, so he started hotshot prospect. He came up when he was like 20, right?
Yeah.
Hotshot prospect. No power. Didn't have any power. And then he started to flash it. And then he had that like second half where all he ever did was hit singles. Then the power showed up. And now he's Anuar Cedeno. Like, he's just this, he's turned into Ray Ordonez or something in the field. Where
it's he's individually flashed skills at fielding, hitting for power, hitting for average, everything basically but drawing walks, but he's never been able to have more than one skill at a time. It's like each year he just like rolls a dice.
He's a complete blockhead. I think that Jose Lopez can't focus on more than one thing at once. That might literally be his problem.
Maybe they need to give him some like giant flashcards like to look at right before he goes up to the plate. Hit home run. Or maybe just an arrow. Hit the ball this way. No more. More. See me turning the arrow?
Oh.
That way.
Oh, his war is drawn back to zero by his base running. He's at -2. There we go. Just ahead of Ichiro, who's been our worst base runner.
Well, that might, you know, things like the getting thrown out at home because of Brunley sending him, you know, that gets credited to Ichiro. That's not his fault.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I think has happened twice, but obviously the one in Baltimore is more fresh in our minds. Man, there are some fascinatingly bad hitters. Failure is way more interesting than success.
Yeah, I'm annoyed by success. I get it. Like, you're good. You don't have to show off. I like the bad. So I'm going to go ahead and... This must be so interesting to listen to, everybody, but I'm going to go ahead and look at the worst hitters of the last 3 years.
Jason Hayward has been the 11th best hitter in baseball.
Yeah, he's been...
The 11th best in all of baseball.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's just insane that somebody would come up and immediately be that good. Just kind of like saying, well, maybe you should have called him up last year then.
Yeah. He's made average contact. He's drawn above average walks. He has the longest home run in baseball so far this year. Like, Jason Hayward could not. He doesn't run much, but he's a big kid. Like, he's been amazing. We don't know anything about his defense, but so far it's been fine.
He's been a better hitter than Albert Pujols. then again, so was about 18 other people. But and interestingly enough, on that list, Alfonso Soriano and Vernon Wells, two players that were included with the Barry Zito before the Ryan Howard contract of the which of these three is the worst contract in baseball. Mm-hmm. And now Barry Zito is like a good pitcher again. Alfonso Soriano is hitting, and Vernon Wells is hitting.
Yeah, Vernon Wells is hitting the crap out of the ball.
Everything
is falling apart. The good contract. Yeah.
Everything has gone completely hoobity blue.
It sure has. That's a word.
Yeah. You know who else is good too? Josh Willingham, who I really wanted us to trade for when the Nats were like, we need to trade Josh Willingham. God. Been amazingly good.
Fun little gesture. Josh Willingham hit a walk-off home run yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. Against the Orioles, who were bad. And Willingham hits his home run. He's jogging around second base. All the Orioles are walking off the field. Shortstop Julio Lugo kind of like trudges a couple steps towards Willingham at the same time that Willingham crosses his path, and Lugo just kicks a little dirt on him and then walks away. Like, it's seriously? You can look it up online. It's the saddest little gesture. Like, it's that little kick is the Orioles. Like, oh. Wah, wah. Kind of. And just kick some dirt. Like, you can't see me, but I'm doing things really daintily in the living room. But, and they just walked off the field. And Willingham didn't pay him any attention. And Lugo just walked away. Went back to the club.
Probably because Julio Lugo is like 4 feet tall and Josh Willingham can't see him.
Was it Lugo who had the drinking problem? Or is that another...
I don't know.
Well, if he didn't have a drinking problem, he's probably going to develop one now because he plays with the Royals.
Yeah. No.
Well, okay, we've gone way too long.
Yeah.
Podcast. Maybe we have next week's recorded already too.
Yeah, maybe I'll process this and I'll speed it up so it sounds like we're energized and care about this team. So if it sounds like we're talking in higher than normal pitches, that
is why.
Well,
that's going to throw people off. This is Matthew. This is Jeff. This is Jeff. I was just playing with Audacity when I recorded the latest Science of Baseball segment, and man, there's some funny things you can do.
There is. It's a way to get kind of lost. It's like the Wikipedia of audio processing programs. It's a good way to get lost and realize and lose 2 hours of time.
Yeah,
I realize. I wonder what this sounds like in reverse.
God, that's weird. All right, I'm going to go make myself a sandwich. Podcast over.
All right. Bye, people.
So long. This is Jeff.
And this was Matthew.
Cool.